The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 25. It is on the page 216 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the script. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Amen. In Philippi, Paul's party met a woman possessed by an evil spirit. They did not run into her only once, but numerous times they met her. Being so troubled by this poor spirit-possessed woman, Paul expelled the evil spirit tormenting her in the name of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul did what he ought to have done. However, those who hired her seized two Jewish people in Paul's company, Paul and Silas, and dragged them like dogs into Agora and brought them before the magistrates. There was only one reason that they became so violent against Paul and Silas: money. Before Paul had arrived Philippi, the owners made a lot of money by her fortune-telling ability from the power of evil spirit. So, when their hope of earning money was gone by Paul expelling the spirit possessing her, they did not hesitate to exhibit violence against Paul and Silas. To them, dignity of life or human rights of the spirit-possessed woman was of no importance. Verse 22 and 23, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them. When Paul and Silas had been dragged by the owners of women possessed by a spirit, the crowd in Agora at once joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates of Philippi put Paul and Silas in prison after stripping and severe beating. But isn't this strange? Isn't the dispute that the owners of a spirit-possessed woman can no longer earn money from the woman because Paul expelled the spirit tormenting her? Isn't that matter a purely private matter between Paul and the owners of the spirit-possessed woman? Isn't it difficult to understand that the crowd in Agora joined in the attack at once against Paul and Silas, and even the magistrates jailed Paul and Silas after severe beating? Verse 19 to 21. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." There were four people in Paul's company, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. However, the owners of the spirit-possessed woman seized only two pure Jewish people, Paul and Silas, and dragged them into Agora. Then they shouted before the crowd and magistrates in Agora that Paul and Silas were Jewish people. As explained in last sermon, this was to plant hostility in the minds of the crowd against the two Jewish, Paul and Silas, because the citizens of Philippi were already antagonistic against Jewish people, affected by Claudius, who expelled the Jewish people from Rome, the capital city of Roman Empire. Further, the owners of the spirit-possessed woman falsely accused Paul and Silas by claiming that these two Jewish threw their city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for Romans to accept or practice. The reason that they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into Agora is because their hope of earning money by the spirit-possessed woman was gone. However, before the crowd and magistrates in Agora, there was no mention of it at all. They were completely silent about the fact that they were bad employers, exploiting the poor, spirit-possessed woman. Instead, pretending that they were good citizens of Rome, who observed Roman customs and respected laws and system of Rome, they falsely accused Paul and Silas. And the crowd in Agora, without sparing a moment to give a thought about the accusation, considered Paul and Silas as dangerous Jewish people, participated in the civil upheaval and expelled from the capital city Rome. At once, they joined the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates imprisoned Paul and Silas after severe beating. After the owners of the spirit-possessed woman had seized Paul and Agora and dragged them into Agora, they retaliated against Paul in the most effective way without lifting a finger. And we can assume how delighted they would have been. They knew precisely well of the ways to incite and use others to achieve their goals. This is a common factor of evil people. Apostle John defined God as follows. In John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Because God is love, those who know and believe in God pursue a life of love, while those who do not know God live their life with no life. In chapter 13 of Corinthians, chapter of love, as Paul was explaining love, he testified that love does not keep record of wrong, love does not delight in evil. The verb translated into Korean as keep record of is logizomai in Greek, which has the meaning of analyze and contemplate. People who know and believe in God do not analyze or contemplate on wrong or delight in evil just because they can achieve their goal. In other words, people who do not know God, who is love, not only analyze and contemplate on wrong, but can have delight in evil if they can achieve their goal. When Jesus was in Galilee, Jesus went into the synagogue on Sabbath. There was a man whose right hand was shriveled. And in the same space, there were Pharisees and the teachers of the law who felt their religious privilege and authorities had been violated by Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 of Luke testifies the event as follows. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. How sympathetic is it if a person has a shriveled hand that cannot be used? However, Pharisees and the teachers of the law had no interest in the sympathetic case of a man with shriveled right hand. Instead, in order to find a ground to accuse Jesus, they watched closely to see if Jesus would heal the shriveled hand on the Sabbath. The Korean translation of watched closely is paratereo in Greek, which means look cautiously. Although Jesus was aware of their evil mind, he healed the shriveled hand of the man without a hesitation. If a shriveled hand is healed, it is something to be delighted by everyone. However, Pharisees and the teachers of laws were different. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do with Jesus. Instead of being delighted, the Pharisees and the teachers of law were furious and began to discuss with one another about what they might do with Jesus. According to a parallel verse in Mark chapter 3, verse 6, they were contemplating on how to kill Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Leaders of Judaism, including the chief priest with unmatched power, wanted to get rid of Jesus as soon as they can, before the biggest Jewish holiday of Passover. But they were concerned about people supporting for Jesus. Therefore, they contemplated on the ways to get rid of Jesus without negative consequences to them. They gathered together to come up with various plans. Finally, they chose to incite the people to accuse Jesus as a political offender and pressure the several Pilate to execute Jesus. And their plots went on as they had planned. The several Pilate were confident about innocence of Jesus, but because he feared that the people incited by the leaders of Judaism may uproar if he declared Jesus was innocent, he sentenced Jesus to die on a cross. Here, leaders of Judaism also completely achieved their goal without lifting a finger of their own. We can easily imagine how delighted they would have been when their goal had been achieved. They too were evildoers who knew quite well how to incite and use others to achieve their goal. By this way, although the chief priests, the teachers of the law, Pharisees, and leaders of Judaism had unparalleled passion for faith, through their lives analyzing and contemplating evil and wrong, they proved themselves a people not related to God. As such, I had explained that if inciting others is an evil deed, being incited is being ignorant. Today, what we want to take a close look at is how Christians should respond to those analyzing, meditating, and contemplating on evil plots. Did Jesus, who was sentenced to death on a cross by evil plots of the leaders of Judaism, responded to them with an equally evil plot? Did he meditate and contemplate on plots to destroy the leaders of Judaism by inciting and steering the people to the opposite direction?
2000년 전 이 땅에 오셨던 예수님께서는 공생애를 시작하시면서 가장 먼저
Jesus, who came to this world, called 12 disciples as he was starting his public life.
전도 여행 보내시면서
Sending the disciples to a mission trip, Jesus asked as follows. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. Before, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Jesus explained his disciples as sheep and the people in the world as wolves. Sheep cannot search for its own food, seek its own way, or protect itself from attacks of others.
Sheep
To the contrast, wolves can hunt its food and know weak points and point of attack of its prayers precisely. A wolf pack chasing for their prey is merciless, that an animal that entered into their hunting zone has no way out except being a prey. Then did Jesus tell his disciples, like sheep, to become prey to evil people like wolves? No. Jesus told them to, therefore, be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Here, be wise means have good discernment. In other words, it means to wisely discern what should be done or not as disciples of Jesus based on the Word of God. And be innocent means to have a truthful heart for God under any circumstances. Wisdom without innocence cannot be distinguished from being sly or cunning. How wise were leaders of Judaism who put Jesus to death on a cross without lifting a finger of their own, but by inciting the crowd and the owners of the spirit-possessed woman who through a similar way put Paul and Silas into a prison after severe beating. However, because they lack innocence, their wisdom is not that based on the word of God, but mere slyness or cunning mind. On the other hand, an innocent mind without wisdom based on the word of God is same as ignorance or stupidity. The ignorant cannot change the world, but only get tricked or incited. Therefore, wisdom and innocence can always go together like both sides of a coin. For this reason, wisdom, as taught in the Bible, means innocence, and innocence means wisdom. But if disciples of Jesus are sheep, they will still be sheep, even if they have wisdom and innocence. How can such sheep win evil wolves? If sheep fights with wolves, can sheep ever win? No, sheep can never win wolves. Disciples of Jesus were poor people of Galilee who did not learn much or have much. With their own abilities, they could have never overcome unjust world or evil people in the world. Despite this, the reason that Jesus asked his disciples to have wisdom and innocence is because even if they were sheep without much ability, Jesus himself will become the shepherd to have them overcome this world and evil people as long as they have wisdom and innocence based on the word of God. Jesus, who came to this world, did not come as a son of Roman emperor. Jesus, who was a poor peasant of Nazareth, never received a formal education. He never possessed any land or a prestigious job or title.
예수님께서는 세상의 것으로는 그 무엇으로도 당신을 무장하시지 못하셨습니다.
He had no worldly things to equip himself, but he himself was wisdom and innocence.
예수님께서는 하나님의 말씀에 뿌리를 둔 분별력에서
He never dissociated himself from wisdom of the word of God. We lost innocence, truthful heart for God in any circumstances.
사악한 유대교 지도자 무리는
Evil leaders of Judaism crucified Jesus without lifting a finger of their own through an evil plot. But did it bring an end to the life of Jesus?
지혜와 순결의 예수님은 죽음 한가운데
Now, God resurrected Jesus of wisdom and innocence from the death.
예수님을 십자가에 못 박아 죽였던 그 권세 높던 유대교 지도자
The evil gang who crucified Jesus disappeared as dirt of Palestine 2,000 years ago. But Jesus, resurrected eternally, established his disciples who kept wisdom and innocence till the end. During their lifetime, the disciples went through sufferings and were martyred. But Jesus made them disciples who overcame the world and renewed the history. It is same for Paul in today's text. Although Paul was falsely accused, severely beaten, and imprisoned because he expelled a dirty spirit from a poor woman in the name of Jesus, Paul did not lose his innocence and wisdom. He kept discernment of a Christian, an innocent and truthful heart for God till the end. So Jesus, a shepherd for Paul, saved him from a prison, enabled him to overcome the evil world that suppressed him and made him an eternal disciple of Jesus. The world we live in is not heaven. It is quite the opposite. The world is unjust, and unjust world is filled with evil people. Therefore, living as a Christian means to suffer and receive unfair treatments from time to time. In such times, do not try to overcome evil with evil. Evil people in the world are those who analyze, contemplate, and meditate on evil. They are the people who know precisely how to incite other people and achieve their goals through others without lifting a finger of their own. Therefore, if you try to win evil with evil, you will be troubled by a greater evil. Further, no matter how strong evil looks like, it will disappear like dirt eventually. Therefore, only thing we can do in this world is to keep the wisdom and innocence based on the Word of God. We should keep discernment based on the Word of God and truthful heart for God. Then, Jesus himself will be our shepherd who will enable us to overcome the worldly evil with wisdom and innocence and use us as a pathway to renew the world. Ten days ago, Pastor Youngjin Cho in Virginia, U.S., was selected as a bishop of the Southeast Region Committee of United Methodist Church in the United States. He is the third Korean to be selected as a bishop in the history of the United Methodist Church of the U.S. Last year, during my sabbatical month, Pastor Cho visited me in Washington, D.C., and prayed as follows before breakfast. God, this morning, thank you for providing us with another morning that we face for the first time. This short prayer moved my heart deeply. Every morning that we face without much thought is not a morning that will return. This morning is not same as yesterday's or tomorrow's morning. This morning is a morning of this day, first and only morning of the day. Tomorrow's morning is only for tomorrow. Such mornings will not return. Then, what kind of morning do you want the morning you face for the first time to be? What kind of day do you want the day you face for the first time to be? Do you want your first mornings and days to be a dirty, ragged clothes tainted by wrongs and evil of the world? If you continue to spend your days as such, wouldn't you contaminate your life and the world and end your life in resentment? If we want the morning that we meet for the first time and the day that we meet for the first time to become a better day than yesterday, let us keep wisdom of the word of Jesus and innocence. Let us keep discernment based on the word of God, an innocent and truthful heart for God. Although we are like sheep without much ability, Jesus Christ will become our shepherd and provide us with a new morning and new day to overcome the unjust and evil world. Listen carefully. In this very hour, Jesus Christ, who called us to this place, promises as follows in John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Let us pray. God has provided me with countless mornings and days. However, I didn't know that all those mornings and days were the first mornings and days that I faced. Without much thought, I have faced another morning, same as yesterday, and another tomorrow, not different from today. Therefore, although we were Christians, we have pursued wisdom without innocence, which cannot be distinguished from slyness or a cunning mind, or innocence without wisdom, which was no different from ignorance or stupidity, easy to be tricked or incited. Forgive us as we repent that we lived a life of a dirty red cloth, contaminating myself and the world with my desires. Help us not be foolish, trying to overcome evil and wrong of this world with the same evil and wrong. Help us become true Christian, analyzing, contemplating, and meditating on how to keep wisdom and innocence in Jesus based on the Word of God, not a person analyzing, meditating, and contemplating on evil and wrong. Help us to keep wisdom and innocence in any circumstances, like Jesus, disciples of Jesus, and Paul. Therefore, help us overcome the world with the power of Jesus, and help our mornings and days that we meet for the first time be better morning than yesterday, and better tomorrow than today. Through our lives renewed every day in Jesus, let our family, workplace, church, and this world be renewed every day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.